Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
With retard. You say funny things.
Oh shit, pulling a Dave. God damn it. Microphone's falling over. Arm wrestle.
Shove up.
So I'm having a good day, right? Everything's going fine. Get into the studio. Somebody touched my goddamn microphone. Leslie super bitch Carmen.
Super bitch.
Left me a note.
Super tramp would be.
She even left you a note?
Yeah.
What's it say?
Hashtag fuck Brad.
Damn.
I told her prepare to have like a vaginal dissection story about her, something really bad. Mm-hmm. And there'd be like prostitution involved.
I'm not going to spread those pictures of the watermelon in her vagina around. Jeez. I won't spread those around.
Did you move the mic with her?
Yeah, it's all fucked up.
With her hoo-hoo.
I knew you were smells. Smells funny. Well, that smells funny. Smells like your crotch, Dave.
Smells like keto. It smells like keto. God. It was her. She runs the keto group. Oh, people start describing your crotch.
Great. I'm surprised it took them that long.
Yeah, did you see? Mm-hmm. I don't remember what he said it was.
It's like the Shiva soccer team all down there at once.
Yeah, he had a good one, whoever the fan was. Someone said it in the group.
So memorable, right, Britt?
Yeah. Well, it didn't have to be memorable. I'll forget whatever it was.
That's true.
You're not going to be able to eat that on the show.
I'm eating it right now.
That's horrible.
Why?
It's
bad
snacky
show etiquette, but it's very tasty for
my
belly.
You're going to be like a golden retriever. With
this is the snacky episode. This is Bob Marley. Snacky episode. Shaba.
All right.
He did that song, right?
Before you take another bite.
Tambourine Man, play a song for me. That wasn't him.
No, Interceptor. What's that song? Who's?
You should know what you're talking about before you start.
Damn. No, it was good. I lost it. You guys all missed out. Not me. It's in my head.
There's no valve on your mouth. It just falls out. Words just fall out. You have the Yucateco winner for the record because we thought it'd be funner.
Why is it funner?
You could take a funner's a word. It's more fun.
I guess supposed to say?
You could eat the brownie and try to do it. He won the hot sack.
Oh yeah, he did. Hot sack in his mouth.
You picked him.
I did. He had a delicious, I just seen the pizza and it looked really good. And so I gave it to him. People don't know I have that power on this show. I picked the winners.
He's got a lot of power.
So, Senkaku, Asian Coon, you won this round of hot sack.
What? Excuse me?
That's what Brent wrote down.
Yeah.
I
wrote Oscar and then I phonetically wrote it out for you. Dave will do
it. I'm not saying a nickname.
Dave will do it justice.
Samsuli Shiakun, a.k.a. Oscar.
Oscar Shia LaBeouf.
Meyer Wiener.
Yeah, I guess. Oscar Meyer Wiener Buff.
You won the hot sack because you had pizza.
What?
And it's that simple, people. Win shit for putting up stupid pictures.
Which El Yucateco did he have on the pizza?
I think it was black.
I didn't even see there was like El Yucateco in the picture.
Brad was hungry for pizza. People are going to put less effort because they're like, really, guys? That's how it happened.
He turned into Shaggy and Scooby over here. He's the pizza.
Shaggy and Scooby.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. You just had it.
Yeah. That wasn't a bad. I never tried my Shaggy. That wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad. And we have a whiskey, gentlemen.
We do.
We have
red breast, 15 year. It was given to us by Patty Larson. It looks delicious. I'm very eager to try it.
Goddamn, I guess. That was a pour, son.
Hey. I'm guessing any predictions on the flavor profile?
Spicy.
Oh, it's going to be good.
So Patty LaBelle sent this?
Yes. Patty LaBelle.
Krabby Patty.
Krabby Patty LaBelle.
Amazing.
Good goddamn.
Yeah.
Don't eat it with chocolate peanut butter brownie.
Okay, I won't.
Or drink it.
Oh, mamacita, glad to meet you. That is, wow.
It is good. That's really good.
That's spicy.
It's not spicy.
It is.
No.
It's one where I'm not saying spicy.
Yeah,
it's,
your brownie's fucking
spicy. Well, I'm dehydrated too, so that might have a
play
in this.
It tastes just like like you're sucking on a red breast.
It does. I can agree to that.
I just hope it's not 15 year because you're going to jail. So.
No, it's 18 year. Hold on a second. Yeah. Oh, it is 15
no,
years.
It is 15
damn
years.
It.
Damn
John
it.
Lester.
Well, thank you, Patty LaBelle Larson, the Redbreast Irish Whiskey single pot still 15 year. Very delicious. I'm a fan.
Can't go wrong with Irish.
Let's go leave that one on the desk.
Yeah.
We don't have to put it back up.
I say we can drink it right now. Send us another bottle.
That's fucking
Patty,
fantastic.
Get that going this way ASAP.
I looked that one up. That one's pricey. I don't think another bottle's on the way.
Irish whiskey has become my favorite, and that might be the best Irish whiskey.
Patty, stop being cheap. Send us another bottle. It's going to be gone.
Delicious.
All right. What else?
I don't know. You have the agenda over there.
There's no agenda. Sort of.
Kill the Jews. Is that what you had on there?
I scratched that out. I'm going to scratch that.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
All right. What's next on the agenda?
Didn't work the first time.
Invade Israel. Is that what you have on there?
No.
That's okay. Not on there.
No.
So Bob Marley is the topic du jour, a.k.a. Nesta Robert Marley, which I thought was very strange. His mom named him Nesta Robert Marley, and apparently, like, everyone was like, you can't name him Nesta. Nesta's a girl's name.
I heard that it was Nesta Robert Marley, and that a customs guy or someone that was reading his passport said that's a girl's name and just flipped the paperwork when he did the passport.
Yeah.
And changed, like, it, for
changed
him.
It for him.
Try to help him out. That was a little push.
Yeah.
A little push into America.
Yeah.
Welcome to our
what I thought
bro
was crazy
culture.
Is like the dates that we're dealing with here. Like, his dad was born in the 1800s.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So I mean, he was born in fucking 1945.
Mm-hmm. We have the same birthday, Bob by the Marley, way, actually. Yeah.
Oh, February 6th.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan, Bob Marley, and me.
Nice. Yeah. That's not a bad combination.
There's probably a lot of other people with that same birthday. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot more with it. I got Johnny Depp.
I have no idea who shares a birthday with me.
What's your birthday again?
I don't remember.
I'm a bad friend for now.
I missed Prince by one day. Prince is a day ahead of me. Johnny Depp was my day.
Could be by hours. You're close.
Yeah.
What's your birthday, Brad?
I'm not telling you.
You don't want to say it on air? Will you write it down so I can check it, please?
Nope.
No, because then I'll tell the celebrity and people will know.
That's true.
And you'll get a million fuck Brads on your birthday. And it'll ruin your whole birthday. Nope.
It's already passed, so I'm good this year.
I think I can just find it on Facebook, right?
I don't know. You should have known. I didn't get a happy birthday from you on Facebook.
Because you wouldn't tell me your birthday.
It tells you. Oh, on Facebook, it's like, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday.
That's true.
You think I would remember anybody's birthday? No.
Someone posted just Dave's newsy stamp. Sam Culper.
That one's going to be worth money.
Nine cents? What the fuck am I going to do? What am I going to ship with nine cents?
That'll lure a lot of girls into the forest to kill. I'm telling you.
We can't actually
we'll be able to get so many girls
if they say 9 cents.
No.
No.
Yeah, what is this? Like the 30s?
Exactly. I told you it was a newsies.
That was a lot. That's a lot of silence there.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable in the silence. I float in it like a warm bath.
I think sometimes I should be silent. I think it's good. Nice. I like to show that I'm well-rounded.
We should practice a little more of it. So Bob Marley was born 1945, St. Anne Parish, Jamaica.
Shaba.
His father was a white man.
Down by the beach. Right? We're just going to do it in a circle. Yeah. Down by the beach.
Named Captain Norval Marley. And he was a superintendent of lands for the British government because they had colonized Jamaica. Braba!
Every time you say Jamaica, you know that. Yes. Jamrock. Welcome to Jamrock.
Pretty much.
Okay.
But so, and there's, I only ever saw one picture of him, and he's just like, it's in a, all of his.
It said he was always on a horse.
Yeah, he's on a horse with like no shirt on and a rifle, like Putin style.
Guys, have you tried this whiskey?
Yeah.
It's good.
It's fucking delicious.
Yeah, it was the brownie.
Told you.
Yeah, that's really good.
So his father was, I'm trying to find in my notes, he was older.
He was 60.
Okay, he was 60, and his, and Bob's mom was 16?
Yeah,
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yes. That was okay back then. It was before the Redbreast 15-year days.
That's right.
Yeah. Different. Before it was that. Illegal now, yeah. Yeah. It was good back then. Okay.
So Marley's mother, Sadila, was a young black woman, and she was part of a tribe that were slaves that staged the bloodiest uprising in the nation's plantation era. So you've basically got two, like, not just black and white parents, but like one parent was the person who oversaw the slaves, and the other parent was a member of the tribe that tried to murder all the white people who oversaw the slaves.
Yeah.
So it sounds like your family.
Yeah, a little bit.
And the Nazis and the Black Panthers. Yep.
Pretty much. But I think this is even more aggro and in your face. And he, like, Marley struggled through his youth because the racial tensions.
Yeah, they said he was an outcast.
Yeah, you're like super outcast if you're mixed.
Also, because that would be horrible.
Sedalia used to shoplift at the farmer's market. It was the Walmart of their day.
Used to stuff turkey breasts down his pants.
Yeah, she stole Thanksgiving.
She stole Thanksgiving.
My mom didn't steal turkey breasts. She stole turkeys.
The whole turkey.
Yes.
Hid them between her breasts.
Jesus.
She was a big lady.
She had red breasts that were older than 15 years.
They were older than 15 years. I can account for that. So he ends up I was confused by. So he married her, but then he left. Is that what happened?
He always financially supported them, but he was rarely there. He rarely saw them.
Because he had seduced. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. She was 17. He seduced her at 17, promised he was going to marry her. And from the articles that I had read, when she became pregnant, he kept his promise and he married her, but he left the next day and didn't stick around.
Right.
But he kept sending money to support her, but he didn't stay in.
And he wasn't around much anyway. He died when Marley was 10.
Right.
So at age 70. So yeah. there wasn't a lot of time to be around. Probably didn't have much choice either. He was in the military. I'm sure he went where he was told.
Probably. Yeah. That would have been during World War II, you know. So anyway, weird upbringing, and nobody is actually certain of Bob Marley's birth date. It's listed on his passport as April 6th, but his mom, Sadila, says that it was at least 2 months earlier than that, because that's how long it took her to get around to going down and doing the paperwork.
That just belittled my birthday even more. First, Brad was statistics over there. Now you told me it was a fake birthday.
Oh, well. Yeah. Well, that's on his passport.
Well, it says February 6th. So, yeah.
I'm rolling with
nobody knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
His birthday is actually closer to mine legally.
Damn it.
Mystery.
So he ended up. And again, it was difficult, because it was even difficult for her, because it was against the law to have a mixed race baby at the time. So she was nervous.
And an 80-year-old husband.
Yeah, exactly. So she was nervous, you know, once the husband is MIA, because she's got a little mulatto baby and it's not really working legally. And mixed race couples weren't super rare, but they weren't welcome. And it was usually the kids who ended up getting shit on. Like, usually, like, unlike in the States in this period, the couple themselves got all the scorn. You were the ones getting fucking crosses burned on your lawn and bricks thrown through your window. But
you couldn't play in the reindeer games.
Yeah, basically.
They said they, like, shirked their chores to him, that he had to earn every meal that he got. Basically, he had to do all the crazy chores that the other kids didn't want to do.
Damn.
Yeah, just to be accepted.
Jacked up.
Is it touching home, Dave?
No.
When you're all orange when you're little?
No.
No?
No.
Nothing happened like that? No persecution?
No.
You did say in Oildale people yelled stuff at you out the window.
Sure. Well, I was in college.
Yeah, you pretty much had a sign around your neck.
That happens
you
to me,
orange
though.
Orange dreadlocks.
No, no.
So, and Mar, I just, I don't know. This was a hard one for me to research, as have a couple of other musicians that we've covered. We haven't covered a ton of musicians, but the musicians that we have covered, this one became really difficult to listen to, kind of like, or to research, kind of like Tupac, because I just kept having to stop and listen to music. Like it would say, yeah. And this was the inspiration for jamming.
And then play 12. Yeah, and then play 12 minutes of music.
I'd get stuck on some fucking serious Marley. And I think, again, like we haven't covered a whole lot of musicians, but I think we try to cover ones that really, really break the mold, really define a genre, really sort of lay the foundation. And even, I mean, if you listen to reggae music right now, it isn't what Bob Marley did.
No.
And if you listen to reggae music before, or if you listen to ska, or if you listen to whatever variety you want to listen to, it wasn't what Bob Marley did. Like, he did this totally unique, different thing.
I mean, it's kind of like Michael Jackson. You can't reproduce.
No.
You know what these guys are doing. Like, no. They're just originals.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. You know, like people create music every day, but you know, these pioneers are just, it's something else.
Yeah. And
you know?
he was truly an amazing artist. And I think that was one of the reasons that we wanted to do him. I know, like on the song Jammin', I think that a couple of seconds into it, you get like the perfect Bob
boner.
Marley noise,
boner,
perfect boner, the perfect Bob Marley boner. Because he's always got his ooh yeah, you know, going out there. And like when I listen to Jam, and there's always like one, the first thing he does in the song, and I'm like, that was just fucking musical perfection. Like, and he's got many, many moments like that. And I always forget, like I think of certain songs. I listen to Exodus a lot, and then all of a sudden I'll listen to something else like Redemption Song, and I'm like, fuck, that is so legit.
Everything's gonna be all right.
Mm-hmm.
As my ringtone for work.
It's fucking dope.
Yeah. I had my kids know all the greatest hits, because literally I was walking to the car, and on the street by like Starbucks, there was a Bob Marley CD, like face up. So everything was fine. I picked it up.
Yeah. So you stole it.
And every little thing's going to be all right. I put it in because I knew everything was going to be all right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't scratched or anything. And I literally fucking just left that in for like 6 months. And it just
that's
played.
That's all you listen to.
Yeah. I was like, fuck it.
You just don't get tired of it. Yeah. It's fucking dope.
Yeah. And then my kids you can know listen all the words now.
Over and over. Yeah. Three Little Birds.
Yeah.
You know, all that.
They
sat on my doorstep.
That's right. Singing sweet songs.
Yeah.
Of melodies sure and true. You know what they were saying?
This is my message to you.
That's right. Singing Don't Worry. About a thing.
No.
Yeah, man.
Or one star.
Just every little thing. Gonna be all right.
Oh, God. That's a bad note.
You can see what's happening here. If I try to talk, he's going to sing. So then I have to sit silent. Just let it happen.
You're talking right now.
I know.
But you mean serious?
Once I figured it out, yeah. If I actually tried to proceed with the podcast, informationally speaking.
Oh, got it.
Okay.
Three little birds.
Told you. Awful.
Okay, sorry.
He's trying. That's the white. He has no rhythm.
No, I fucking
ever met a black man with no rhythm?
And that's what's really sad is I'm about as black as he was.
Yeah.
Like skin
he was blacker for sure.
Yeah.
We had black hair.
I think if you sit out in the sun for like a few years, you get black.
Yeah. Do you tan or do you orange creamsicle? What happens? You just get a
melt.
You get brighter orange.
I just spurt out the end.
Yeah.
I tan.
Yeah. I think everybody tans.
Yeah.
No, I freckle. Yeah.
If you spent a few like years in the sun though, you'd get dark.
Then I melanoma. No pun intended on this episode.
I melanoma.
Yeah.
That was crass. I don't approve.
Sorry.
So his childhood, he ends up getting involved in music. So he ends up moving to a horrible place in Kingston called Trenchtown. You know why they call it Trenchtown?
A lot of trenches.
Because it's in a fucking trench.
Yeah. it's like little like, you know, they're just huts, like little shanty shacks.
Yep.
And you watch the documentary on Netflix and the kids are just like running through. It looks like trenches.
Yeah.
It's called 9 Mile too, which I was thinking about 8 Mile.
Yeah, it is.
Nine Mile. Is 8 Mile derived from the 9 Mile thing? Like, is there some relation?
Probably
ghetto
not.
Or something?
No.
No?
8 Mile, 8 miles long.
Well, it's 8 mile road. There's different roads.
Yeah. Oh, there's 9 mile and 10 mile.
But he lived in Trenchtown.
I'm white. That's why I asked.
They moved to Kingston and he ended up becoming friends with, a couple of different people when he was young. He, ends up, and this goes back to our recording with, Tyrone's roots in the UK. Mm-hmm. He actually ran
Colombian bow tie.
He ran with a group called the Rude Boys.
Oh yeah.
And he basically ran with a street gang, but he never joined the street gang.
I don't know. I don't think Tyrone's old enough to be in the Rude Boys.
Well, they're still around.
Oh, maybe true.
Maybe
that's true.
But they gave him the nickname Tough Gong because he didn't take shit from anybody. He would fuck you up. Like, he never backed down. He was like as hardcore as any of the gang members. And his mom was always worried. And he basically told her, "Don't worry, I'm never about a thing. Because every little thing is gonna be all right." He told her, don't worry, I'm never gonna join the gang.
I'm gonna fight fire with fire. Yeah.
He said he was never gonna join the gang, but that's just who he hung out with. And
I'm just enjoying the show.
I'm glad
that's,
you are.
That's a first.
The audience might not be.
It's like watching a fire. Yeah. It's keeping me warm.
But so they struggled in poverty in Trenchtown, but Trenchtown was considered at the time for local performers, they considered it the Motown of Jamaica. So all these little bars, all these little, you know, juke shacks and whatever, like the best performers from Jamaica would play here.
And they made instruments out of like trash, dude. It was crazy. They took electrical wire, like stranded electrical wire, and unwound the strands and used copper wire for strings and made banjos out of them.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Like with a box and shit. Like,
they took metal straps and put it on like a wooden box with a hole in it. And I don't remember what the instrument was called, but it was kind of like a
guitar.
No, It was like they plucked metal things.
A sitar.
It's like a kalimba. If you know what a kalimba is. No,
I have no idea what a kalimba is.
It's metal prongs that you flick the whole metal.
It's like
an African instrument. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was like a kalimba with like three or four notes, but it was more of a percussion instrument. One guy was on that. Someone was on a banjo. And then I think they had something else like the skin flute and then a vocalist. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Slip that one in there.
Yes, yeah, like it. Yeah. I'm sorry you didn't get to stick it to a patron while you were at it.
Oh, damn it. See?
So he ends up growing up again in a legitimately rough neighborhood with legitimately awesome street performers. And he ends up starting to hang out with Bunny Livingston. And they end up starting a different couple of groups and so forth. They meet a guy named Joe Higgs, who helps to like build up Marley's abilities and get him to train a little bit more. They meet Peter McIntosh, who later becomes Peter Tosh, and he becomes one of the great, you know, one of the reggae greats of all time as well.
Created and they were McIntosh. Watching like vocal, that's right. like doo-wop bands. Like,
yeah.
They wanted, like, there's a picture of Bob Marley and a couple other guys wearing like matching suits and shit, all fucking like leaned in like the Platters or something. Nice. And they wanted to do that. He just wanted to do vocals. He didn't play an instrument at that time. And then Higgs, I think when Marley was about 12, started teaching him how to play guitar.
Right. And they called themselves, did you see their names from early on?
Like the Wailing Wailers. They were the Rude Boys something.
They were the Wailing Rude Boys.
Yeah.
And
they were the Wailing Wailers.
And then they became the Wailing Wailers. And then they finally met a record producer who was like, how about the Wailers?
Well, what's funny is there was an American band
called Wailing going on.
There was three white guys called the Wailers, like at that time in America. There's a band that they kind of just ripped off, I guess.
Yeah.
That was probably just their idol. I guess they figured you're in Trenchtown, Jamaica, you're going to get away with it.
Yeah, I bet those guys didn't wail.
No.
They do. Bob Marley wailed.
They do whopped.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So they end up forming these early musical acts. And he ends up getting a record producer named Leslie Kong, who likes Marley's vocals enough that he starts to have him record some singles. And they do okay in Jamaica. This is starting in like the 1960s. and they don't
16
like
16 when his first single came out. Yeah. That Judge Me Not.
Yeah.
And they tried to have him have a name, Bob Martell. Like, he has a series of fake names through his whole life. For one, his name's all mixed up.
Right.
The whole Neville thing, Aaron Neville or whatever it was. They switch it up. Say that's a girl's
didn't
name.
Aaron Neville, the guy.
I really did. I thought Dave had an Aaron Neville. Yeah.
I don't think I can go higher.
I don't even know any of his songs. I just know the voice.
I know too much.
Yeah, there you go.
But no, I know I love you.
Oh, man.
This is a musical episode, man. Yeah. You got to get on board.
Yeah. Right.
Did you have an Aaron Neville?
No.
Snap into it. Do you have an Aaron Navel?
I do. Okay. That's the name of my navel. My belly button's name is Aaron.
Aaron, you got to get it together. There's too much lint.
Cartoon. My stomach's...
You ever see Brent just navel. Sandwiching his gut? Like making his navel talk? Is Aaron Navel?
Aaron Navel.
No, I haven't seen that.
Aaron Navel
officer. And he paints it orange.
But anyways, they try to tell him to use the name Bobby Martell. That's some fucking white boy name.
That is a white boy name.
Robert Marley was pretty white.
Yeah, sounds... But yeah, because his dad was Marley and he was a white Jamaican. That's so true. Yeah, it was pretty white.
Yeah.
That's really confusing. Like, that's why he was all messed up. Had 32 kids. Sad.
He had like 13 kids.
Yeah.
Well, 13 of them became artists. The rest of them were nobodies.
So he ends up doing his more music, etc. And one thing that I read, did you hear this story about the Duppy Ghosts?
No.
So this was very strange. When he was with the Wailing Rude Boys, when it was him, Bunny Wailer, and Peter Tosh, and their producer, Joe Higgs, was trying to get them. They were all afraid. They all had stage fright. Like, they were good musicians and they could perform on the street, but they, like, every time he would book a gig and get them into like in front of a big crowd, they would kind of freeze up and they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So he woke them all up at 1:30 in the morning and he dragged them down to the Maypen Cemetery. And apparently, like, Jamaican superstition is like, you never go into a cemetery unless you're paying respect for a particular dead, and you never go in at night because the ghosts, which are called the Duppies, come out of the grave, and it's like a bad thing. Bad things. It's probably like a little bit of bad voodoo,
yeah.
Like, it's gonna follow you, whatever. So you don't go into graveyards at night. So the producer wakes him up at 1:30, drags him down to the cemetery where all their instruments are, and he makes them put on a performance for the Duppies. Like, just a performance for the ghosts in the middle of the night in the cemetery. And he claims that after that, they were no longer afraid to get on stage and play in front of people. And it's one of the reasons that Marley, he recorded a song and even calls himself the Duppy Conqueror, because he can conquer ghosts. Because he,
I think,
did
he made
so
a deal with the devil that night, though.
He very well might have. Yeah. That might be what's going to explain his success.
At age 36, I will take your toe and your life.
he left the life part in fine print. Yeah. He was just stuck with the toe. But yeah, so the song Duppy Conqueror is about his time that he went and battled ghosts with the power of reggae music. It's going to be the plot for the next Ghostbusters.
I think so.
That's weak.
So was the last Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I didn't see the last one. Was it worse than the second one?
Okay. No, I'm talking about the new one.
That's what I mean.
Oh, God.
Because the second one was pretty bad.
No, this is...
The second one's not too bad.
With the Statue of Liberty and the...
Nintendo controllers.
Okay, you watch this last one, and then you come back with the... You know, see what you think.
Did you see the new fight
about the Nintendo controllers before. I feel like on another episode we got in a fight about that.
No, wasn't us. That was a different podcast.
Jack it on, jack it off.
What's wrong with the Nintendo controllers?
No, I think he's saying that's what makes it.
Yeah, what were they? I like the fact they're there, but what were they plugged into? You know, they were controlling the whole Statue of Liberty with Nintendo controllers.
Oh, you mean on Ghostbusters?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about you had a quarrel with like real Nintendo controllers.
I think we got in a fight about the Ghostbusters on the show about the Nintendo controllers.
I don't
think
so. I don't remember that.
I had a dream about it.
You probably did. Yeah.
What is your stance on said controllers?
I'm just saying, what the fuck were they plugged into? Are they just like laying on a fucking...
Ectoplasm.
So do you like...
They're plugged into like a bucket of ectoplasm?
That's all you need.
Yeah. So do you like Super Nintendo controllers over the regular Nintendo controllers? Would that make it better for you?
No, that's after my time. I would say 8-bit.
If there was,
but you're
Sega?
Down with the fact that you could just plug them into the ectoplasm.
The more I like reason with myself that the whole Statue of Liberty can't even fucking walk as long as you play music and put Pink Slam on it.
Right.
I have to just accept the Nintendo controller to be in a jar of pink ooze.
They were wireless.
Not back then. Not unless they had the NES satellite like I do with the D-cell batteries. I got the swap meet for $23.
They were more advanced than that. They had the, what is it, the ectoplasm guns and stuff.
They could have modified them.
Yeah, definitely modified.
Egon got on it.
Program packs.
All right.
Anyway, Bob Marley, Duppy right. Conqueror. So at this point, he's still struggling with music. He's a decent street musician, but he's not blowing up, like getting singles that succeed. And he ends up, going to a couple of members leave the group. There's a constant rotation of members of the group. And everybody kind of drifts apart who's in the band. He ends up moving up to, the United States where his mom was now living. I forget where it was. Somewhere in New England, wasn't it?
They moved to Willington, Delaware.
Delaware, yeah. So they moved up there. He worked at a car plant. He worked at like a couple of different places. Didn't really like American
where he
culture.
Changes his name again.
Oh, did he?
He worked at DuPont and at the assembly line for the Chrysler plant under the alias Donald Marley. Because fucking why?
Donald Marley.
You can't
Marley.
Fill out your job application just under a regular name?
Well, Donald sounded more American.
Than Robert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had like
I get your point.
It is our president's. It is our president's yeah. name. And Robert got assassinated.
Yeah.
So
maybe he don't wanna, maybe yeah. he assassinated Robert Kennedy.
He had premonitions.
Right. Actually, he did. He was known as a child for having an eerie ability to read palms.
Eerie, yeah. an eerie ability.
Yeah. Eerie. Yeah.
See, now you're getting it.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired. Maybe I just need more whiskey. That'll make me more tired. I think.
No, that was one thing I kept reading in weird little blurbs about him was that when he was a child, he would read people's palms. And apparently he was always accurate to the point that it scared people. And then eventually people started coming to him to have it done. And he said he doesn't do that anymore. Now I sing.
Because he did things that happened in the past. He used to like peek on. He was like, you yeah. had sex with the farmer's wife. He's like, fuck, get the fuck out of here, kid.
So you just say he was creeping.
Yeah, peeking in the barn. Yeah,
yeah.
That's all it was.
Yeah. Fucking barn.
Yeah, and once he started singing, he didn't have the time to do it, so yeah. he couldn't keep up with everybody's info.
That's right. That's right. So he returns to Jamaica and after 8 months. And when he reunites with Livingston and McIntosh to reform the Wailers, this is when he starts to explore the Rastafarian movement. And it's kind of important to explain some of the stuff of the Rastafarian movement because it's behind all of his music. It's behind the weird politics that he gets involved with. All
isn't
this
there
stuff.
A leader or something of Ethiopia? His name was like Rastafarian or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where it came from. I never realized that that Rasta
so
thing.
The whole Rastafarian religion at the time was very small in Jamaica. It was not well respected. It was considered to just be a small cult. A lot of what the Rastafarian religion says, I am amazingly down with. Like, I'm pretty close in alignment to many things in Rastafarianism, but there's just a couple deal breakers.
He doesn't want
couple big deals.
What are the ones you're down with?
The ones I'm down with are that they basically claim that basic human rights are critical to everyone in the world, third world, first world. There shouldn't be the large discrepancy between the wealth and the poor, that discrepancy is what causes all the problems in the world. They say that the world is not in some like we're waiting for the UFO to rescue us days, but they're basically saying the world is a shit pot right now because the wealthy corporations and the wealthy governments control all the laws and the poor just suffer under them. And we refuse to participate.
They're pothead socialists that need a haircut.
I'm out right now.
So they refuse to participate. It's one of the reasons that they speak and they like they've over the years exaggerated the Jamaican accent to get harder and harder to understand because they don't want to be understood. They change their diet because they don't want to eat any processed foods because they keep people dumb and they keep people unhealthy and so on.
Sounds
and so
like you're
forth.
Already vegan or you're
they,
already
we're halfway there. They yeah. grow their dreadlocks.
Oh, you're out.
Just to basically say fuck you. I don't even care what you dress like. I'm not going to dress like you.
I don't
dress.
Care if I have stinky hair.
Like the whole like there's this whole thing about it. They believe in a god that they call Jah, and I'm sure I'm summarizing and butchering this a lot.
Jah or Jaha?
Jah.
Jah. Jah. Jaman.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So Ja, but the idea
I was
going to
say
that,
that's where I didn't know that's where it came from, but I knew the term. Yeah.
So you like God, you are God. Like we are all God is their theory.
Kind of like voodoo.
So kind of. So it's like you're responsible to yourself in order to be spiritually healthy, not to some external power or some external book. Okay. Like you are like we are all God. And as long as you're OK with yourself,
you're the master of your own universe. God,
and it's like I'm cool with all that. They don't eat.
I'm going to cut this part out.
A lot of them don't eat. A lot of them eat seafood, but they won't eat crustaceans for some reason. But they won't eat processed foods. And a lot of them are vegetarians. They won't eat meat, etc. So all of that, on board.
You're good.
Okay. Good. On board.
So what's the deal breakers?
Haile Selassie, the emperor of Ethiopia, is the second coming of Christ and the holiest man on earth.
I'm back on board. I'm in.
So this guy, and his name was...
He's doing a bad job with those potbelly skeletons over there.
And what was his name? Rastafari?
Yeah, it's like Ras, R-A-S-Tafari.
Rastafari was his name, and when he became the emperor of Ethiopia, he changed his name to Haile Selassie.
And Ras is a pretty white name, too. They're getting all these white names.
It's R-A-S. It's
like, oh, Ras, yeah.
So, you'll hear in a lot of the songs, they talk about Haile Selassie, the emperor of Ethiopia, like, because they believe that that's the person who's going to bring down the corrupt capitalist system and all this stuff.
I don't see that because you listen to the music and they talk about the road to Zion and you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just their take on heaven and whatnot. I don't know. Strange.
No, Zion is their idea of heaven.
Okay.
Like that's their like perfect place to end up, their paradise or whatever.
Valhalla.
And basically. And I mean, again, every other song that he sings talks about some element of this.
You know what, like, I just thought about? I don't know why I never thought about it before, but if, you know, you always have the debate about, you know, is there a God? Isn't there a God? You know, mm-hmm. And I've always thought like, well, if there's no God, there's no God. That's just what it is. Or if there's a God, there's only one God.
Right.
And all the other books, you know, Muhammad, you know, right. the Christian religion, like all these other religions, it's just the same God.
Right.
But I never thought that there could actually be, even though you have Greek mythology and stuff with different gods, I never thought that there could actually be like, oh, there is Valhalla. And there is Zion.
Right. They're all just
And there is all these things. And you, they're all just you different actually neighborhoods. Could. Yeah, because if everything's a hologram, if everything's the Matrix,
right,
like it's all fake, it's all digital, there actually could be all those things. Like
that's what I always say. I have to rationalize the ridiculousness of like harps and clouds, and no offense to anyone, of like these ideas of like...
No offense to any harp players.
Yeah, to any harp players out there.
Some people
unless
rock
you
out
shred.
Yeah, if you shred on the harp.
Yeah, DM me. We're looking for a harp player.
Yeah, anyone for the opening of the YouTube channel.
Yeah, we got some ideas. But
that would be funny.
It seems so ridiculous like that you're going to, you know, that you have to be good or follow these rules to live in like eternal paradise, or that you're going to burn for eternity. But anything, if you were all powerful, you could make up any set of rules you want.
Yeah.
I could be the peanut butter pigeon god. You know what I mean? You have to fucking love pigeons with all of your heart and eat peanut butter daily and celebrate on Sunday.
And pigeons are flying rats.
Yeah, to get into my fucking heaven, right? Yeah. So if I have some virtualized thing and I rose to that status where I could create planets and life, that could be my fucking rules if I'm crazy enough.
My niece would never follow your religion because of the peanut butter.
No. She don't eat peanut butter?
No.
Allergic to peanuts?
What's wrong with her?
She hates peanuts.
She retarded?
No.
She hates peanuts.
Claire, are you retarded? No. She doesn't like peanuts. She doesn't like... I even asked. I was like, so do you like peanut butter flavored things, like peanut butter pie? She was like, nope. Mm. I don't like peanuts.
Mm. How come she just drooled and said Disneyland when you asked her about peanut butter then?
No, Uncle Dave.
Disneyland. That's all I heard. Peanuts. Wow. Hey, I have strong feelings about peanut butter. You don't bash peanut butter within my proximity. Yeah. I will Disneyland you.
Disneyland.
Gonna go Disneyland.
She likes
someone's
pigeons.
Pissed right now.
Someone's really fucking pissed right now.
What?
She likes
my
pigeons.
Cartman voice.
She likes pigeons, though.
Dude.
She likes pigeons.
You like pigeons?
Can't hear. She's not talking. Yeah.
Not a yes.
I don't think she understands you.
She's scared of Disneyland now. She's conforming. Drinking,
get out of your chair and come over here.
She's drinking Red Pop.
You got her. She's colted in at Dave's house. Uncle
Dave's.
She
already knows.
Yeah.
She knows what's up.
Dave's babysitting.
She's like, I hate going over to Uncle Dave's. All he makes me drink is Red Pop and eat fucking tofu. Sucks.
Microwave vegan egg rolls and barbecue sauce.
Hey, microwave vegan egg rolls. That sounds horrible.
She opted for the Red Pop. That was her decision.
Oh, my God. Come over to Uncle Brad's and have a steak. This is horrible. I feel bad for you. I almost want to adopt you.
So those are the ideas of Rastafarianism. Even like little things, like you listen to the song and the fact that they say I and I is like something to do with God.
Yeah. Like God and
it's I and I. Yeah, right. They have two eyes. Yeah.
So I and
I. They can
I.
see because they have two eyes.
No.
Yeah.
Different thing.
I don't think so.
The letter
it
I.
It can be interpreted.
It could.
I Captain is derived from that as well. Yeah,
that's just whoever's writing those lyrics that you're reading. They thought it said I and I, but really schism. It said I and I, which means I Captain. That's why they say that too. Pirates were Rastafarians.
I'm not going down the road. I want to keep going.
I'm just here for the ride.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Brad on that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though Rastafarianism didn't exist yet, I'm still down. Okay. For that happening.
There's got to be a Rasta pirate out there somewhere.
I'm sure there is now.
Yeah.
Positive.
Yeah.
If you are a Rasta pirate, DM us.
Yes.
Let us know.
Let us know. We have YouTube stuff going on.
We're looking for pirate in our band.
Yeah.
And if your name is Black Slash, then you're even cooler.
Yep.
Oh, speaking of, that's what I wanted to remind you. We had a guy check out our podcast and get really mad on Instagram because... Mm-hmm. He went and listened to the Bloods versus Crips episode, and he is a black man, and he wanted to know why Dave thought it was okay to use the N-word, but not even the N-word directly, the N-I-G-G-A word.
Niggas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I DM'd him, and then he continued to be mad and didn't look at his DMs, and then he got on to like a picture of us, which is like Brad's big-ass white smiley face right up in the camera. And my white guy off to the side and Dave's barely black over to their side. And it just said, which one of you all motherfuckers said N-I-G-G-A? Like, he's still calling us out. And then I'm like, I finally like commented on his picture or something like, dude, check your DM. And I told him, Dave's black. Brad's got 3 rap albums and I'm white as fuck and I wouldn't dare. And then he said, oh, we're cool. And I was stoked because I thought I was going to have to call for black up. It's like
I probably have more black friends than him, so just calm down out there. Yeah. Just calm
like,
down.
I was like Jarrell. I was like, damn, what's my name? I was like Jarrell.
How many Brent?
Jarrell.
Yeah, Brent only has one black friend that he doesn't even know. It's just from social media, and that's Jarrell Jones.
Tyrone, is it Tyrone? Did we do anything bad on the Bloods and Crips episode?
Nah, nigga.
All right.
Shut your white ass up.
I'm not white. We've gone over this.
You look white.
Okay, thanks.
Bitch.
I thought I'd check in. He's our resident expert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's actually here. We turned his mic off. He wants us to turn it black on.
It's quick. Somebody call for blackout. I was like, about the NIGGA.
He gets mad.
Let me get back to you about that.
Yeah. You should have wrote.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
I'll be right back.
I'm going to have to get back to you about that. I got to call for blackout right now.
Hold on. Just a blackened.
That one didn't work. No. What was that one?
No.
That was forceful, I guess.
Yeah.
Forceful entry, like the blacks do.
Do they do that?
Yeah.
Are you known for that?
Put on a black mask.
They.
Okay. So at this point,
kick through your black
Bob
door.
Marley is now with the main guys, the main group that makes up the Wailers. And they start to put together good songs. They sign with Island Records in 1972, and they finally release a studio album that starts to blow up. They start to tour as an opening act in Britain and the United States for Bruce Springsteen and Sly and the Family Stone, which is saying you've probably done all right for yourself. And the year after they did that, they released the song I Shot the Sheriff, which I thought was weird. The same year that they released I Shot the Sheriff, Eric Clapton re-released I Shot the Sheriff.
It's because his,
he liked it.
One of his band members gave him the CD and was like, you got to check this out. You're going to be into it. And then he covered it. And that was the first time he had a number one hit since Layla or something.
It was two years earlier. Yeah.
It was 2 years. I just think, isn't there like a statute of limitations for before you cover a song? Like, I thought it was weird.
I don't think so.
They probably worked something out.
Oh, I'm sure they worked something. That's just weird. It's like, I dig that song you just put out. I'm going to put it out too.
Yeah, and I think
Eric Clapton had an audience though. He was still popular just in Jamaica.
Well, and you're hitting different. You're hitting different groups, like socioeconomic.
Name
groups,
a David Hasselhoff song.
Yeah,
Groingenschruber.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they're all in Germany. Fucking like you don't know.
Love.
I could cover Hasselhoff songs. Yeah. Groingenschruber.
Yeah, I'm too sexy for my Hoff.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
I heard there's a rumor that Hasselhoff's going to be at our next SK meetup.
I hope so.
Yeah, it might be in Anaheim. I can't say any more than that, but I heard Hasselhoff's going to be there.
Why?
Fan of the show, apparently.
Hmm.
Did you guys see that someone posted in Florida, in St. Petersburg, Florida, they're battling an onslaught of graffiti depicting three assed buttocks?
Yeah.
Someone's doing a fucking graffiti that has three butt cheeks.
I think that's great.
All over Florida, and they're like,
it's perfect.
Yeah, it's caught fire.
Okay, so
speaking of Catch Fire,
before song releasing, it was, and that was their album Burnin' that I Shot the Sheriff came on. So they start releasing album after album. Natty Dread comes out in 1975, and this is when more of the original Wailers left the group, but. And this is where Peter Tosh.
It's like as they're starting to do good, people are leaving.
Peter Tosh and Bunny Wailer both leave the group. And they were there the whole time. They were from the beginning.
Tosh 2.0 started.
That's right. But they both, time. I mean, when I first heard about reggae, when I was first listening, Peter Tosh was really the only other name I knew in the business. So, and then Bunny Wailer as well. So, I mean, and they do have the same sound and the same style as Bob Marley musically, but they just don't have that voice.
Some of it was like one of the backup vocals wanted to do his own stuff and he didn't feel like he was artistically expressed. I think part of one of the things was like a monetary disagreement as far as, I guess they were making like nothing.
Yeah.
They made zero money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like $3 a week or some shit at one point. Yeah.
They probably made their first money when Clapton re-recorded the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
they got a check for $8.
Yeah. They're super strategic as far as like trying to conform and like rewrite some of the music to like Americanize it. And for the longest time, they struggled with just a white audience. They could not get black people to listen to him.
Like
he would sell places out and it was just white people.
And I even
he's like the black Eminem.
When I talked to my dad, like one of the times we were in Hawaii and I would always listen to this when we were like hanging out in Hawaii. And he was like, at one time I just wanted to fucking smack him in his face. He was like, you know, Bob Marley, you know, the first two times I went and saw him live, like, you know, my girlfriends had to like drag me kicking and screaming to see him. I was like, this isn't black people music. I didn't even want to see it. And then by the time I saw him live the third time, it was just like, I was like, no, this guy's got it. That's fantastic. Well, it's like, you motherfucker,
this guy's
and saw motherfucking Bob Marley three times and you didn't even like him the first two. Ain't that some shit?
Cause he had a, you know, predisposed just like position on the fact.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's like, he was mad cause he was half white.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't like you.
Yeah.
That explains my childhood.
Up, yeah.
No, he really liked him. He just didn't want to tell you he liked him.
That's right.
That's all.
That's
right. That's all.
He didn't want me to get high expectations or something. But the album Natty Dread starts to change things and it starts to reflect a lot of the political climate in Jamaica. And in Jamaica, there's pretty much like a street level civil war that's going on here. And this is one of the things that makes Bob Marley so awesome. And it makes him an interesting person to do an episode about, because there's the People's National Party and there's the Jamaica Labor Party, these two different groups that are against each other. And I didn't know much about what the problem was, but when I looked into it, so apparently in 1972, the prime minister of Jamaica, a guy named Michael Manley,
white dude too,
pursued a socialist agenda and he wanted to redistribute wealth by nationalizing the country's major industries. And He deterred foreign investments. He basically...
He's pulling a Cuba.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. You look at those other episodes, we've talked about third world countries and shit like that. He was tired of the CIA and the USA and their corporations meddling and controlling the financial sectors of Jamaica. He wanted to nationalize it. He wanted to pull all of them out so they had no say in anything. He was aggressively opposed by the CIA and American business interests, and they started supporting the other party and drumming up violence and doing all this stuff. So that same thing that we've seen in all these third world where the CIA is trying to get rulers that are CIA happy, that's what's going on in Jamaica.
So it's probably rich Jamaicans versus poor Jamaicans?
Pretty much. Yeah. And the prime minister happened to be on the side of the poor Jamaicans, and this did not sit well with anybody. Right. The prime minister was on the side. I mean, that was the same side that the Rastafarians.
Well, because the rich people owned businesses that were going to be nationalized, right? Whatnot. Yeah, and then all the Rastafarians were the guys sitting around smoking weed that didn't want the separation of class,
right?
And I don't know. I'm thinking when you nationalize the business, it's going to bring money to the country,
sure,
but I guess they don't see it that way.
It's going to bring money
because there's also like price fixing. There's all kinds of things that come into play economically where it's a slippery slope. Where it's like it might be cool at first if shit was really bad, but then at one point you like give the reins back over. You have to have the growth and competition within the economy.
Right.
Or they're just like, this is how much milk costs, and they can fuck with you.
Period. So another politician named Edward Siaga ends up basically starts hiring local gangsters, and it becomes a civil war in the streets where the gangsters that work for the prime minister versus the gangsters that work for the other side are like fucking, you know, clashing, banging heads, killing each other in
pulling
the streets. Pulling a Hoffa, trying to get one side or the other to win. And this is, you okay over there?
I'm sweating.
It's fucking hot. Yeah.
Feel like a meth addict.
So this becomes really important because, again, a lot of people, I didn't know this until a couple of years ago when I had watched some documentaries on Bob Marley. But because of this political strife, because of all this stuff, there's an assassination attempt on Bob Marley's life.
Like legit.
And it's fucking legit. And the outcome is crazy, right? So
not really legit. They didn't kill him.
Well, he was in a little fucking kitchen. Someone stuck their hand in the fucking door and shot everybody in the room.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get out. What kind of kitchen didn't have a back door?
That sounds like a real good alibi to kill everybody in the room if you're the only guy left.
No, well, only one. I think only one person died, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
So anyway, so Marley is a supporter of the People's National Party. And in December 3rd, 1976, 2 days before a free concert that was organized by the prime minister.
Did he actually publicly say that, though? Because what I was reading is like he wasn't on either side necessarily. He hadn't taken a hard stance. But that
he hadn't taken a hard stance. But from what I had read, a lot of the songs on Natty Dread were leaning towards the one side.
And the prime minister side. And it made it look like you're doing this benefit concert that it might be promoting.
Right.
The prime minister.
Yeah. So indirectly. So on December 5th, they're supposed to put on a thing called Smile Jamaica, a free concert organized by the prime minister. And he claimed, the prime minister did, that it was an attempt to ease tension and bring people together in a social setting. But while the night they were rehearsing at Marley's house, someone came up, shot the place up. One bullet struck Marley in the sternum and one struck him in the barley. One in the sternum, one in the bicep.
On this diagram, can you point to the barley, Dave? Where's that?
That's the body's made up for vegans. The body's made up of fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, humor. Yeah. You got me right in the carrot.
Yeah.
Ah, my barley.
Yeah, damn it.
My okra hurts today. One bullet
kicked me right in the broccoli.
So one bullet struck him in the barley, and the other one stuck him in the eggplant. His wife Rita got shot right in the cauliflower.
Actually her nickname after that was Rita Cauliflower.
Rita Cauliflower. Right.
No, Rita actually got shot in the fucking head.
Yeah, she got fucked up.
Yeah, right in her cabbage.
Yep.
There you go.
You're right. It is the cabbage. Their manager. Got shot 5 times. I think there were 2 gunmen. The manager got shot 5 times, had to take him to the hospital.
Yeah, when he was done, he was Swiss cheese.
Right there in his tofu turkey breast.
Doesn't work? Oh, no.
They had to take him to the hospital.
Synthesized vegetable protein Swiss cheese.
There you go.
Yeah.
So he gets shot up. Everybody gets shot up. And the night of the concert comes 2 days later. And Marley's like, I'm playing the show.
Yep.
Right. With two fucking bullet holes in him.
He's like,
all of the Wailers are either flat out in hiding or left the country because they want nothing to fucking do with this because they're going to get shot. His wife's in the hospital with a fucking head wound. And he ends up getting a group. I don't have it in my notes. It's a completely different group plays for him. And he said, quote, the people who are trying to make this world worse aren't taking a day off. How can I?
Yeah.
And he goes out and sings with two fucking bullet holes in him. And you can see concert footage and you can see towards the end of the concert, he's fucking struggling.
He's just like looking around the whole time. Like his eyes are flinking. No, not
like he's just like, well, he's probably high hurting. As shit.
He looked like Captain Jack Sparrow with a tan.
He was, but like fucking balls to you. Like you tried to fucking shoot me in my house.
The pictures, he reminded me of your junk a little bit, honestly. God. Which does kind of look like Captain Jack Sparrow with a tan, but more jewelry and trinkets.
More that's like funny. Sideshow. Yeah.
He's like he's like the Rastafarian 50 Cent. Gets shot out.
That's right, and he still does a fucking show. So
Dave's junk has wind chimes, and there's a breeze.
So
did you clip your web tank today, Dave?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't swim, so I don't.
Is that why you're floating sideways?
Yeah.
The fan's blowing you. You keep getting closer to me.
That's just magnetism.
Oh.
So, but he did say fuck this and leave. So after the concert, he goes to England. And while he's in England, he works on Exodus in 1977. A lot of the songs that kind of draw parallels between like the whole idea of the Israelites leaving into exile, like he kind of compared himself to that situation because he felt like he was in exile because people kept trying to fucking shoot him.
Yeah, there's a biblical quote. I was trying to find it in my notes. Something about like protected by the hands of the Almighty, which is like one of the lines.
It's one of the lines. From, yeah.
And the guy gets attacked by arrows and lives and still goes on or whatever. It was the story. And like it does coincide.
Redemption
exactly.
Song.
Yeah, redemption song. Yeah. And it sounds just like what happened to him. It really does. Yeah.
So he records Exodus, which... Most musical historians and so forth think that Bob Marley's Exodus is one of the top albums ever created. I mean, it's just fucking a masterpiece. If you don't own Exodus, there's something fucking wrong with you and you should own it. Is that the one that you found?
No, it was just the greatest hits. Greatest hits. Oh, okay. Like some 1980s.
Probably has a lot of songs from.
Probably has Exodus. Most of Exodus on it. Yeah. So this same year, 1977, he ends up. He's crazy into football, aka soccer. Like some of his best friends are like professional footballers. Like it's his football. Whole thing. He said that they would
play with professional players and that the Wailers would whoop their ass sometimes.
Yeah. Oh really?
Yeah. He said
they'd
beat them.
Fucking wail on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was really into it, but in 1977, his toe started to hurt him. So he had his toe checked out and the doctors basically said there's cancerous cells in your toe.
Yeah. It was the first documented case of toquemia. Yeah.
It's rough. Mm-hmm. Toquemia is rough. So the doctors suggested certain treatment, amputation of your toe, chemotherapy, all this stuff. But the amputation went against his personal religious and spiritual beliefs.
Mostly
the body
he couldn't crib walk without a big toe. Right. That's what he said.
Well, to be honest, like he came out saying that it was his religious beliefs, like his interpretation of Rastafarianism and that I am one with God is that to defile my body is to defile God.
It also
and it's
said
why
it
a
would...
lot of Rastafarians don't drink. It's why... Right. Rastafarians, you know, have a strict diet because they don't want to defile God. But a lot of his people said there was another reason.
Well, you can't dance, you can't walk correctly without your big toe. This would hinder his performance career.
You can't play soccer. Like that
you
was,
can play soccer.
A lot of people were like, he's going to lose his soccer game if he cuts off his toe.
I don't think so.
So they cut they took his toenail off, cut out the nail bed, which just sounds fucking horrifying, and they took a piece of skin off his thigh and grafted it over it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he still died from toe
his
cancer.
Big toe looked like Joe Rogan from the side when they were done.
What?
I love Joe Rogan, but last couple of times, man, I love him. It's out there, but sometimes it looks like a toe.
All right.
Someone pointed it out to me and I can't get it out of my head, like a cartoon toe.
So you're calling him Toe Rogan.
Toe Rogan. It wasn't. I don't know how it
is now. How do I get one of those shirts, guys?
Oh, internet. And I fucking love Joe Rogan. I do.
I know.
But sometimes
do.
That shaved head, like he just looks like a little Neanderthal man. Like he's just all stout and he looks like a big toe.
Yeah, you'd fuck him for sure.
I might.
Yeah, might.
How would I not? Right?
He would be fucking you though.
If he was down, I would think it was a test though. I'd be like, are you fucking around? Is this gonna happen? And then right when
what if he's like seducing you though? Like he wants it. You know, are you going to let him fuck you, though? Because you know he's going to want... He's the man.
He just wants to tell the story that I was going to let him do it?
No, he's not telling anybody.
What if I turn around and I'm just like, fag? No, does he have me, him, an attorney, and a contract?
Mm-hmm.
And I signed a contract, $1 million. Yeah. There's what wouldn't I do for that?
Yeah, that's true.
I would me, my attorney, and a dolphin on the beach.
I seen you with that tranny for $10. So
yeah,
I know $1 million.
And I gave them the $10.
Yeah,
so it's crazy. It's a deal.
So
it's like sausage and saran wrap. It was hot.
Oh yeah. That's protection.
A story I heard one time from a friend in Thailand.
I'll pass.
Yeah. Post op.
So. He gets 1977. He gets his toe cancer, but he keeps traveling. He keeps touring, etc. So shortly after this, there's a big thing. There's another idea. So there's two people in Jamaica, one on each side of the rival political factions, two gangsters that are both in jail for fucking busting heads and being involved in the Jamaican Civil War. Basically, they end up locked in the same jail cell and they end up talking about how they could perhaps stop the violence and try to make Jamaica a better place. A guy named Claudius Massup and a guy named Aston Bucky Marshall. And they're both from different sides.
What the fuck is wrong with these people's names?
They're Jamaican. And they think the best thing that they could do to bring the country together is to use music. And of course, they think if we could get Bob Marley, that would be perfect. Like the only way to do it.
Yeah. Right.
So, but they don't know fucking Bob Marley. They're two fucking thugs in jail. But
they might. He ran with some dudes. Like
he ran with some
the Rude Boys.
Yeah, the Rude Boys. So he's living in London where it's safe. Bob Marley is, and when
they were rude grown ass men at this point.
That's right. Yeah. So when Massup, one of the two criminals, gets released from jail, he flies to England, tracks down Marley, and says, like, explains what's going on and says, hey, would you come back and do this, like, One Love Peace concert to try to unify Jamaica? And he agrees. So it becomes this massive concert, right? They ended up calling it the Third World Woodstock. 16 of reggae's biggest acts. 32,000 spectators showed up.
They're all starving. They told them there was going to be food.
All of the proceeds went to...
Proceeds.
It's like prostate.
Proper proceeds.
Why? Any excuse. There's no reason to correlate those two.
Nah, man.
He just wants to do that noise.
I say proceeds.
There you go. I'll take that one.
But they were meant to go for... housing facilities for people in West Kingston. So it was there to help the poor.
Yep.
So big concert.
I think that's the one where they couldn't even afford to put it on and Marley put up the money.
I think that was part of it.
Yeah.
Too.
At that point, he put up the money to bring all the equipment, have it shipped over.
Right. Yeah. So a couple of highlights of the concert that I thought were pretty funny is there was a musician named Jacob Miller, who was one of the acts. And so the concert was two sections. There was a section that started in the morning and went all day. There was a pause. And then there was a second section. So it was like an all day festival. And in the second half is where the bigger musicians were playing. And then Marley was going to be the last act to play. So one of the leaders, the guy who started the second half of the day, named Jacob Miller, started, it was right when the prime minister and his opposition got in their seats, and he leaps onto the field, lights a huge spliff, even though it's illegal in Jamaica, hands it to a cop, puts on the cop's helmet, and jumps back in stage smoking another spliff that he lights. So he gives a cop weed, gets him to smoke it, steals his hat, jumps on stage.
Oh, the cop
and
did
keeps
it?
Me. Yeah, the cop did it.
Oh, nice.
And started passing around the spliff because it was the One Love Peace in Jamaica. And then Peter Tosh, who was already a separate entity at this point, who used to be in the Wailers, but now he's his own band, Peter Tosh came on. I think it was the last performance before Bob Marley came on, and he came on and spent. He had a 66.
He jumped in the audience, and there was a construction worker, and he gave him a spliff and put it on.
That's right. The next guy dressed like a
Indian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Feathers, not dots.
Right.
Yeah.
So no, he had a
racist
66 minute set. Peter Tosh did. And he spent the first 30 minutes not playing any music, just talking shit to the two top political leaders because weed was illegal in Jamaica.
For how many minutes?
30 minutes of his
set. How did a riot not ensue?
Yeah, this was just a let's legalize weed in Jamaica speech.
I'm wondering, maybe there was music playing the whole time. Maybe in the background there was a whole lot of music and he was just, instead of singing, just talking shit to these two politicians
about weed. Yeah, it was a slow rhythm.
It might have been that. There was a spot in that documentary where the guitar player fucked up and Marley said, watch what you're doing. He started like changing the lyrics, telling him to watch what you're doing. On one of the concerts, he's like, when you see him do that, that's not the original lyrics. That's not what happened. I messed up. And he changed the lyrics and never skipped a beat and told me, watch what you're doing.
That's crazy.
And I fixed what I was doing. Yeah, in the concert. So maybe he was just spouting off lyrics about legalizing marijuana for the prime minister.
Then at 12:30 in the morning, Bob Marley gets on, does his biggest shows. And when he's doing Jammin', the song Jammin', he ends up bringing up both of the leaders. And he has them shake hands.
On stage.
And again, he's just riffing.
Right.
He's making new lyrics of Jammin' about being out under the moon tonight and trying to bring peace to Jamaica, but Jammin' still playing and all this stuff, just freestyling.
Yeah.
And it gets the two leaders to shake hands and tries to like end a civil war. So again, not many musicians.
Didn't work. They killed him with cancer.
Yeah, they killed him with cancer. Well, it kind of didn't work anyway, because within the next 2 years after the concert, both of the thugs that were in jail that wanted to organize the concert were dead from gang violence in Jamaica.
In other news, Kingston's doing great right now.
Yeah. In other words, Kingston has houses.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it wasn't a cure-all. I mean, that was the one thing that I had read whenever I read about it, that like he did this and it ended this great conflict. When I reread it, it was like it made a massive difference and it quelled the violence and it got politicians to the table to start talking. And it was still a multi-year process to kind of ease things in and make some changes. So a lot of people still do credit Marley with it, but it's not like at the end of that concert, everyone walked out stone and thought the world was great and there were no more problems. People were still getting fucking shot.
So did you see the conspiracy theory that the Rage Against the Machine lead singer is actually Bob Marley?
No, but he does look a lot like him.
Yeah, he did a lot of bleaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That he did
Jamaican bleaching soap.
He's the bleaching soap.
Right. Yeah, that's right. The Jamaican bleaching soap.
So he smoked a lot of marijuana, man. He's staying young.
Yeah, that might be
staying fresh.
That might be true.
And plastic surgery is a thing.
No, he just traveled through time. That's how their music video had the Donald Trump for president.
Yep.
Yeah, see? That's how that all happened. He just traveled forward during the time from
he smokes so much weed, he travels through.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, let's smoke this. Whoa. It's just a tunnel of like, it looks like Star Trek.
In 1997, man. Yeah. We smoked too much.
We're almost there. Yeah. Go back a little bit. Exhale. Exhale. Exhale.
That's
there you go, right there.
Much better, man. In 1994.
Hold it. Hold it in.
So in 1980, they release Uprising, which is Could You Be Loved, Redemption Song, like, again, some of the great songs that come out. And this is where he starts to really be known as a great musician. Like, this is where his lyrics are starting to become more important. This is where everything is really gelling and coming to a head, which is too bad because this is the same year where he gets really fucking sick. So he gets really sick. They're on tour through Europe and they're supposed to play several large venues in the United States. Like their first like massive United States push. They've played in the US,
right,
but not like they're the headliners, major stadiums, et cetera. So they played three. They played two at Madison Square Garden. They played one at the Stanley Theater in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And then Marley got too sick to keep singing. And again, it was the cancer in his toe, well, and it had spread through his body.
They had forgotten about it. You know what I mean? He got his toenail taken out. They did the thing. He looked like Toe Rogan. And then they were jogging one day, and he fell down and seized. And everyone was like, what the fuck's wrong with him? And then he like jumped back up like, oh, I'm cool. But they took him to the doctor, and like, yeah, there's cancer all over your body.
Right.
Like, it's in your lungs. It's everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. And so he bails out to Germany for treatment.
And he bails out to Germany for some weird ass treatment.
He was the leading holistic.
He could have cut his toe off and been good.
Yep.
There were rumors. Some of the bandmates said that the original recommendation was to cut his leg off at the thigh or something.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. Back then,
you get upfront parking.
Yeah, they didn't have titanium cool robot legs back then.
Yeah, I think that might have hurt his career.
You run faster now.
Now
you get your legs cut off. You run faster.
Fucking Petraeus cyborg murder legs. Oh, yeah.
You're good. Murder leg. I was gonna say you get to kill your girlfriend. Come on,
the whole thing.
Yeah. Plus, if you have a fake leg, you can hide a ton of weed in there.
Oh,
just a hollow.
It's like a hollow wood leg.
They should have told him. If he would have thought about that, that would have been.
What you think about Rasta Pirates? Or you thought I was joking?
Could have been like a 30-inch bong. Too like
you,
technology.
You light where your toes would have been, like that's the bowl, you know.
He missed out,
Redemption song would have never happened. It would have been amputation.
So he got sick. He went.
Song. They're gonna cut off my leg, man. It's gonna hurt a bit.
It doesn't even go to the melody of Redemption song. What are you doing?
I don't even know what that song. I don't like that song actually.
That's like amazing.
So he ends up doing some treatments that don't work, obviously. And the doctors tell him, you don't have much longer to live. Like, you've got days. And he, gets a plane and starts to fly, back to Jamaica. Proper.
He was in Germany for a long time.
He was in Germany for a long time.
He celebrated some birthdays there. Yeah. And I guess he had to like walk through like hip deep snow. Like a block or so to get to the medical clinic. And there's like cool interviews with the nurses, and they still remember him. They're still alive. Like, they said he was super patient and he was super humble about everything. And they gave their account of his treatments and whatnot there.
Right.
And then he kept saying there's an announcement, like there's an actual recording of him saying he'll be back on tour. He like gave a date. He's like, I'm going to be back on the road.
Right.
This and that.
Right.
Don't fear. But yeah, no.
But so he tries doesn't
to
make it.
So what you're saying, to Miami.
So what you're saying is he's a liar. Yeah.
He is a liar.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. That's really that's what we're all getting. This the whole
theme.
Episode.
This
is
whole theme
this.
Is. Yeah. He's a fucking liar. A
fucking liar. And a quitter.
Yeah. Yeah. He quit. I agree. I agree.
So he, on May 11th, 1981, Miami, Florida, is when he, you know, the whole family flies there. He's too sick to keep traveling. All the accounts are that the last words he spoke were to his son, Ziggy. And he says, money can't buy life. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
It's weird. Do the interviews with his kids, like his daughter, she looks Jamaican, no accent. His son...
What exactly does a Jamaican look like, Brent?
Like bananas and weed and like fucking crazy big ass.
Looks Jamaican?
Yeah. I mean, crazy I'm saying they ass. Look like they'd be Marley's. They look like they'd be Marley's kid, but okay, she has
that's
zero
a whole
accent.
Different.
And her son sounds like crazier than Marley, probably. Like it's like reincarnated.
It depends on the son. And the one son. Of his sons, Damien.
Yeah.
I had, when his career was first starting, I hadn't really heard of him, and I had TV on in the background, and it was like a late night show, and it was just like the final band was playing.
I celebrate his whole catalog.
Yeah.
Damian Marley's.
It's fucking dope.
It's good. You heard the Nas album with Damian Marley?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you're missing out.
I am.
What's wrong with you?
But the thing is, like, so I'm.
He has fruit snacks too. They're delicious.
I was grading. I wasn't paying much attention to the TV, and there was a Jamaican rapper on, and I wasn't really paying any attention at all. And all of a sudden, someone stopped rapping and started singing. And I was like, motherfucker, that sounds exactly like Bob Marley. And I know it isn't a sample. And I looked up and I was like, it's fucking Bob Marley with a crazy ass beard. And I was like really tricky. I mean, he sounds so much like his father because no one sounds like Bob Marley.
There was some
no
dude on X Factor that was like fucking crazy Bob Marley.
Had that sound.
Yeah, it was impressive.
But so yeah, and the next day I bought the album because he's fucking legit.
Right.
And it's, and again, there's a lot of parallels, like his, because his dad is all, you know, we will never go to war. Rasta, like, even though Rastafarians believe that the world is corrupt and all this shit's bad and only a massive war is going to fix it, they're not going to be the ones who start the war or fight in the war, well, because they believe the in peace. Yeah. Well, no, they mean the war against Babylon, the war against the whole drugs. World. Yeah. No. They want the drugs.
They want, oh.
But his son, Damien, in the songs is like talking about going to war. Like, this world is fucked up and we're going to have to go to war to fix it. And there's suddenly like this shift.
Someone too said that he was much more militant and more politically charged, and that really... commercializing his music and over time and whatnot, that we have this perception that's very tamed down of who he really was, like this happy weed smoking, everybody get along thing, when he has several, like,
that's because that's how he was when he was older. Yeah. You know, towards the end of his,
well,
his
a lot of life. It was, it's to sell records too. Like, they tamed it down. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, white people buy this.
I was going to say, Kaimani Marley is the one. He's like, he wears like fatigues when he goes on stage. Mm-hmm. I watched him at House of Blues, put on a super good show. But he wears like army fatigues and gets out there and like marches and stuff. Like, it's like war, you know, the war on drugs.
And I think probably Ziggy has had the most albums and the most kind of mainstream commercial success. I know in the 80s and 90s, he had a lot of success in reggae, but he doesn't sound like Bob Marley. Like, he's got a,
his voice. Damian Marley is the one.
Damian
sounds
Marley
like him,
sounds exactly like Bob Marley. And the other thing is, like, with all these kids, so. And there's a documentary called Marley, and it's a really good documentary. It's pretty long, though. It's like 2.5 hours, and it really covers his life, and it shows a lot of what he goes through. And one of the things that you learn, again, goes with our thesis that he's a liar, is because he would straight up sleep with everybody. Like, he slept with everybody.
They talked to all his wives, though, and they're like, it was Bob Marley. Like, you know, right. Yeah, it was a trip. Like,
yeah, but down. It was Bob Marley. Yeah. What are you going to do? So he ends up with three children with his wife, Rita. He ends up taking on two children that Rita already had when they mm-hmm. met and got married. And then there ended up being 11 other children.
Damn.
Yeah, documented.
Documented. Let's put it that with the Marley name, you know.
The documentary called Marley on Netflix was originally supposed to be directed by Martin Scorsese. Did you know that?
No.
And then, like, scheduling issues and some shit happened, and then they handed it off to another guy named Jonathan Demme, and then finally Kevin McDonald, the guy who made the documentary, made it. But that went through. That was originally Scorsese's film.
Wow.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be weird?
He was like, I'm not going to make any money off this.
He tried to have Leonardo DiCaprio play the part of Bob Marley.
Yeah.
And that's what
he's going
to
give him blackface.
Yeah. Like, Robert De Niro is going to be in it.
He wanted Bobby. Yeah. Bobby De Niro is going to play Rita.
Yeah. Like, I saw you in Django.
Yeah. Shit got weird. Yeah.
But it is a good documentary. Like, if you're into Marley and you want to see his life story, that goes from cradle to grave, like the movie really.
I guess there's
really
another really good one called Rebel Music or something like that, but I just didn't have time to watch it.
Yeah, I'm on. So,
but I did see that.
So no, I think he's the impact he had on music, the impact he had, I think, and I even read one article, I think it was in Rolling Stone, it might have been in GQ, but there was an article talking about how he is the underestimated, like, he's underestimated in how important he was for American fashion. Like, the looks that he had, what he wore, how he did his hair, his jewelry, just simple shirts.
Lenny Kravitz looked like Urkel until Bob Marley. Yeah.
I mean, you look, yeah. I
and
mean,
if he had dreads and now they wear the asps, like the asp basket on their heads.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, you go to any big city and you go to like a fucking hipster coffee house and you're going to see two or three fucking cool guys and they're basically dressed like Bob Marley. Right. And that wasn't a style
that just existed. That was Bob Marley's style. And like, right. even when you look at, like, you can look at almost any picture of anybody from the late 60s, early 70s, and you're like, look at that fucking outfit. Like, oh my God. And you look at a picture of Bob Marley and you're like, you could walk on stage right fucking now.
Yeah.
Like, no one would bat an eye. They wouldn't think you're some fucking weirdo rock star. Like, his look was just perfect and impeccable.
You just have
and
to he own just it.
Influenced generations.
If you started wearing a cowboy hat after a month, I'd be like, there's Dave in a cowboy
Dave in his cowboy hat. Yeah. Like, he just
Bob Marley wore track suits and fucking
yep. And in the early photos, he's got dread. He doesn't have the dreads. He's got an afro. But once he signed up with the Rasta movement,
he looked like early Obama. Yeah, Brad wore a jester cap and a Speedo for like a month, though, and it just fucking never settled in. So it's not always true.
Yeah.
You can't always pull it off.
Yeah, like, I tried. It was a sweet jester's cap. Yeah.
It was nice. It was nice.
You've seen the magic card, jester's cap. It's one of my favorites. I was going after that look. But
I think the problem is, like, one, the Speedo. There was a lot of skin going on. And secondly, he actually wore face makeup, which was kind of fucking weird. I mean,
speaking of that,
the real problem was the Speedo was the wrong size.
Yeah.
And I'll just
it was way too small.
I'll let you.
Something was way too small.
Yeah.
I thought the Speedo looked a little big.
Was it loose? I didn't think it was hanging at all.
Well, unless you have wrinkly skin colored fabric.
When you wear Dave's Speedo, it's gonna make everything look small.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he could fit like three midgets in his trunk, if you know what I'm saying.
In his trunk.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see on the way over here, I was on California Avenue right there and Chester. And this guy, I seen he had tattoos on his face. And I was like,
oh. Like, he looks like a good babysitter. I should hit him up and see if he's available.
Yeah. And
that's the first thing I think. His
daycare was actually already full. So I, you know, too bad on that. But he did have tattooed clown face makeup on.
Oh, damn.
Like, he had the triangles above and below his eyes. Like, he had the clown lips, like, tattooed on his face.
He's committed to the profession.
Yeah.
He's a professional clown.
Yeah, he
works the rodeo.
Well, I just think you would have easily been able to get him to watch your kids for some Faygo if he was that down.
Or meth. Clown.
That guy's
or,
name.
No, no, no. He was Mexican, dude. I don't think it was down
Mexican
with the clown.
Mexican dude. Fuck.
It was, I just got out of prison.
Wow.
We used somebody's black sperm to.
That might be my friend from kindergarten grew up to be a clown. He's Bobo. The Millennium Clown and Yip Yip, the chimpanzee.
Okay, have you ever seen that? That guy's black.
That's my friend from
Bobo,
kindergarten.
Bobo, the Millennium Clown.
Okay, that's my friend from kindergarten. I know him.
So you have one black friend.
No, I
you
and actually Jarrell. Know. He's not black. His name's Jaime.
You can't claim
Jarrell and me are
you
close, dude.
Do not
we
know
talk
him.
All the time.
That's fine. You do not know
Jarrell's
him.
From Krypton. You can't claim him as black.
Damn it.
Yeah. Jarrell's very black, though.
He is. He's like Wesley Snipes.
He's dark chocolate for sure. Yeah, Wesley Snipes. That's his nickname. That's what they call him at in New York.
He's like 98% cacao.
Yeah.
That's just because he evades.
Cacao.
Just, pretty good. Just because he evades taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
Sponsors. So Bob Marley's the shit. He slept with a lot of people, and some people don't like that, and he lied.
Yeah, he's a liar.
He was fucking dope. They couldn't shoot him and stop his concert. Go listen to Marley. He's a dope figure. Yeah. He's one of the rare musicians who pretty much just tries to bring positivity and love and peace into the world without any of the bullshit. Yeah. So check him out.
If you listen to this and you're going to do jiu-jitsu, roll to some reggae.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That actually is cool.
Yeah.
Like, last time we went to the other place, there was a good music. Not trying to
the
stop
other Brent can't
Voldemort.
That place
we went to Voldemort.
Yeah, that place of that which I cannot name.
It would be a conflict of interest. So I wanted to thank some of our patrons actually to make sure that they know that we appreciate them. Our top ranking patrons have given us a ton of money. I feel guilty, to be honest, that we talk about dicks and fucking web taints.
It's better than our patrons,
and they give so much. So I want to say thank you to Yanuri.
To dudes.
Loves the big DD trick.
Yeah.
obviously. She's top dog. She's given the most. She actually gives us $50 a month. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. I can't afford that. I have to like transfer $50 from savings every month to make my bills happen.
It's fucking it's awesome is what it is.
And like $14 of it's from Yanuri that I transfer from my savings. So also to Rai Amik. Lauren Robinson, Breck Gonzalez, Tyler Bajas, Tyler Waters, Josh Haney, Nick Housen, Ivica Radio Slavic. I think I got that. I nailed that shit. Jason Russell and Andrew Sanders.
Mm-hmm. They all love the cock.
Yes. And Jeanette Huge Rickards. Ones. Jeanette Rickards is hiding in there, definitely. Actually. So, and obviously, thank you to all the patrons, but these people have significantly given us
some
amount of money.
More dick than everybody else.
A ton. Like an entire bag of dicks in and around their mouth.
Yeah.
And because they've sucked so much dick, we are sending them another prize soon. So,
they are getting a special
shit. And we forgot prize. Dave's 8-year-old niece is sitting on the couch. Sorry, Dave.
Yeah. It's a bag for all
but
the dicks.
But these people do suck a lot of dicks. Yeah.
It's a monogrammed bag for all your dicks.
Yeah.
So that it's on its way.
She's older than 8.
Yeah, she's 9.
At least anyway. 12. She's at least 12.
Yeah, maybe.
Older than that.
Man, I'm going to stop making jokes about her age because it could get out of hand and I'm already feeling like we're saying bad stuff in front of her. So, because we said red breast 15 years earlier and I was like, how is that the joke? Well, she's
on the
couch. We
haven't said anything bad in front of her.
You don't think so?
Very good.
No.
No.
She's sitting kind of sideways. So
it's more beside her.
And you know teenagers don't listen to anything.
Yeah.
I don't hear anything.
She looks like she's paying attention. So, speaking of underage girls and bags of dicks, thanks to El Yucateco Hot Sauce, our primary sponsor.
I'm glad you said
that. Yeah. They like it when we do that. It brings vigor, attention, like aggression, spice. And excitement to the brand.
Yeah. To the underage girls or the brand?
The brand.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, thank you. If you haven't tried it, you can get it at your local grocery store, most major grocers. If you're outside the United States, you can get it at mexgrocer.co.uk. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is available on Amazon, eBay. People make art with it on Etsy, and you could probably lick the painting if you got it. You know, if you're a hipster and you want to give money to the man, you could get on Etsy and buy a Yucateco painting and lick it.
And spend 3 times as much.
Yes.
Somebody had it in their cabinet for 8 months. It's expired.
At one point in time, you were supposed to paint stuff with El Yucateco.
Maybe
record.
I did.
Maybe.
Maybe it didn't turn out. Okay.
Maybe it looked like a finger paint.
Maybe.
Okay? Thanks for bringing it up.
Maybe it looked like Toe Rogan.
Maybe it looked like Dave's crotch, finger painting out of El Yucateco.
That's exactly what it looked like, and I threw it away.
Storm.
That was an expensive canvas.
Yeah. All right. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can use code SOFAKING to save some money if you need any printed items, stickers. If you have a podcast, they make stickers for us.
Yeah.
So check them out at printdirtcheap.com and use code SOFAKING so they know we sent you. Thank you to De Leon Graphics. Also, if you have a podcast, he makes t-shirts and beer koozies. He does silkscreen stuff, so...
And what was that podcast we were supposed to shout out? I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
I'm doing it at the end. There are two podcasts, actually.
I was just joking. We're not shouting out anybody.
I'll throw it right in the middle. Check out Sam Culper and Sam Walsh's Breakers podcast. Their new episodes come out on Mondays. They're actually longtime hardcore fans and cool guys.
www.com to check them out.
Yes. .com/blackup. But check out that podcast. Also, Rob Gomez. Now, I don't know. This podcast could be entire shit. I haven't listened to it. Don't get mad at me. I don't know.
He's supposed to
send me the secret link, and he's lagging, and he hasn't. But I'm giving him the shout out anyway. He started a podcast with a couple guys, and it's called Blue Eye Mafia. Apparently, a Sinatra-esque fancy man. Men of standards podcast. I don't know what's going on in there.
That sounds very white and racist.
It does look like three white guys.
The guy who got mad at us about saying the N-word, that the black guy said the N-word, don't listen to that.
But podcast. I saw the Amazon link to his microphone, so I'm a little bit worried that he's talking in a box through a cell phone tape recorder by Fisher Price. But that being said, I'll help him along the way if you have
questions. What's his name? Juan Gomez?
Rob Gomez, man.
Oh, Rob. Yeah,
you know Rob Gomez.
I have no idea.
Longtime fan. You do too.
Yeah.
You've talked to him. You've had conversations. That's a household name, sir. That's a household name.
You know how many Gomez's I know?
So we'll keep your eye out for Blue Eyed Mafia and support them because they're in the family. Also, I think I'm going to try. At least I'm going to try. I haven't talked to these guys yet. I'm saying this live. But there's a Los Angeles podcast festival thing that's coming up. And I'm going to try. I would like for us to go like fucking flash mob that place with Sofa King shirts.
Oh, we're going to flash Dave's crotch everywhere.
So, yeah, it was going to say,
I love
Sofa King podcast. And all I got was Dave's crotch on my shirt. And it's just going to look like a pile.
Look like a vegan shit on the back of
your shirt. A destroyed birthday cake.
Yeah.
With the Challenger exploding on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we're going to try to see if we can organize something if we have enough time. I might have some cool news about a super crazy SK meetup in the very near future. And as soon as I have information for that, I'll post it and announce it. Who am I forgetting? De Leon Graphics. They print shirts. They print kazoos.
You already said that.
If you need that. I know. I'm just getting back on track, sir. You can go and get stuff from them. They're available on Facebook and they're on Instagram.
You said that.
Brad said that. And thank you to Digital Creations for the heat transfers and coffee mugs and all that stuff they do. If you have a podcast or a need for a silly thing on a mug, they do one-offs. They do one-off t-shirts. So if you don't need 12 shirts, you can get one shirt.
Monogrammed bag.
Oh, that was a remix.
Mono, you're going to love these nuts.
Actually, if you have a
monogram sack,
I know some of our fans had babies. They make onesies. Oh, yeah. You do something funny. Yeah.
I think they can make gags and
printed
ball gags for your babies and other like a sacks, potato sacks. You can get their name on it and stuff your baby in it.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about all that, but check out Digital Creations on Facebook the wall. And Instagram. And then last but not least, thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu Jitsu. You can log on to armhunter.com. I think those Boondock Saints geese are probably over with and gone, but still, if you need any apparel or instructional DVDs, you can go to armhunter.com for those.
Never hurts to check it out.
Yeah. So that's all I got on that.
Yeah. That's it. Is that it?
I think so.
That you said he had podcast shout out.
I did it in the middle.
I already did.
I did Breakers.
Those weren't even
real. Blue Eye Mafia, yeah.
All right.
Rubber.
Don't be retarded.
Yeah, bumps on rum. Ooh, yeah. Well, all right. We're jamming. I wanna jam it with you. We're jamming, jamming, and I hope you like jamming too. In the room, they go loud. We can do it anyhow. I and I will see you through. 'Cause every day we pay the price to deliver sacrifice. Jamming till the jam is through. We're jamming.
Bumps and rungs come from mash up the place.
Zion, it rules all creation. Yeah, we're jamming.